Audiologist, a Phonak podcast.
Welcome to The Audiologist, a podcast series created by Phonak to offer audiologists and people interested in audiology new perspectives on hearing health topics. The current podcast follows the recent systematic review of the cross-bicross literature over the last 10 years. What were the key findings and how can we use them usefully in clinic? At the microphone is audiologist Jane Woodward. I am the audiology manager for our latest solution for people with unilateral hearing loss, CrossP, at Phonak International Headquarters in Switzerland. With me today is audiologist Elizabeth Stewart. Elizabeth is a research audiologist in the Phonak Audiology Research Center, PARC, in Aurora, US. She has a PhD from Arizona State University and an AUD from the University of Kansas Medical Center. She currently manages various external research collaborations and supports systematic literature searches and related background research activities relevant to Phonak products, as well as thought leadership initiatives. Elizabeth is co-author of the paper, Out of the Head Shadow, a systematic review of cross-bicross literature recently published in the Hearing Review. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Hi, Jane. Thank you for having me on the pod. It's lovely to be here.
Now, for those who don't know, unilateral hearing loss, or UHL, is any degree of permanent hearing loss in one ear with normal hearing in the opposite ear. Elizabeth, is there any data out there to tell us the prevalence of UHL? Is UHL a common challenge?
There are statistics available regarding UHL specifically. So according to the National Institutes of Health, about 1 in 1,000 newborns in the U.S. are identified with UHL at birth. Among school-age children, so those 6 to 19 years of age, that number is about 3 in 100. That's actually a conservative estimate. And then among American adults, the prevalence is 7.2%, mild UHL being more common at 5.2% of U.S. adults. Moderate or worse UHL is slightly more rare at 1.5%, but overall it is relatively common.
So that's a lot of adults and children. In fact, amongst my colleagues and friends, I know three people with a unilateral hearing loss. So it's not as niche an area as I first expected. I was also surprised to see from the literature that UHL has as big an effect on people as bilateral hearing loss. Could you tell us more about the effects of unilateral hearing loss on everyday life?
Sure. So individuals with UHL actually experience a lot of the same challenges as those with more symmetric hearing loss. For example, hearing and understanding speech in more complex listening situations, such as background noise or over distance. Additionally, sound location can be quite difficult when you have UHL. Talking of people we know personally with UHL, when I was growing up, one of the kids who lived next door to us had profound hearing loss in one ear, normal hearing in the other. And I would notice that when we would all be outside playing and someone would call to him, he would have to kind of look around to figure out where the voice was coming from. So localization is a real challenge for individuals with UHL. And for those who have more severe hearing loss in that one ear, even awareness of sound on that affected side can be problematic. But beyond the challenges that are specifically listening related, there's evidence that UHL is associated with reduced social interaction, increased loneliness, and poor psychological well-being. In fact, at least one of the papers that resulted from our literature search suggested that individuals with UHL are actually at greater risk of experiencing those effects than those with bilateral symmetric hearing impairment. So there seem to be some unique challenges for this cohort.
Yes, and we can see that UHL doesn't just affect speech understanding, but it's much more far-reaching than that and really extends to every aspect of people's lives, including well-being and social connectedness. Can you tell me how cross and bicross can help?
Cross and bicross systems are non-surgical solutions for individuals who have one ear with no usable hearing. So one ear for which amplification provides little or no benefit, and then either normal or aidable hearing in the other ear. The main benefit that cross and bicross devices are designed to provide is elimination of the head shadow effect, which is what happens when the signal, and particularly the higher frequency content of that signal, arriving on the side of the ear with unaidable hearing gets attenuated because it has to travel to the opposite side of the head, to the ear with either normal or aidable hearing. In a cross system, a microphone worn on the unaidable ear picks up the auditory signal and transmits it to a hearing aid worn on the opposite side so that it arrives at the normal hearing ear unattenuated. And then a bilateral cross or a bicross is the same configuration, but the signal coming from the cross side, so the side with unaidable hearing loss, is amplified by the hearing aid that's worn on the ear with aidable hearing loss. But in both cases, it's this contralateral routing of signal that eliminates the head shadow.
It's really reassuring to know that there is technology available to support people with no usable hearing on one side. Elizabeth, we spent some fun time together systematically reviewing the literature on cross, bicross, and UHL. In fact, it took us several months to review the 66 abstracts that came up and the 27 full-text articles which got through our selection process. What were the key objectives and findings of the literature review?
Right. There was quite a structured protocol that we needed to use. And so that required having well-defined objectives to help us determine what evidence we were going to include. Our primary objective was to assess the current evidence regarding the benefits, limitations, and clinical applications of cross-bicross systems in general, so across all manufacturers. We didn't limit our search to Phonak technology. Our other objectives included identifying any gaps in the research and identifying some optimal methodologies for future research using the latest cross-bicross technology. Probably the strongest evidence we found was the benefit of cross and bicross for speech understanding in noise when speech is presented to the unaidable side and the noise is on the normal hearing or aidable side. And that was confirmed by a number of independent studies. There was further evidence of improved speech understanding in diffuse noise in some of the more recent studies where the aim was to test the technology in somewhat more realistic listening environments. The literature also revealed some improved subjective quality of hearing, such as ease of communication and sound quality and naturalness. And there were additional reported advantages relative to other solutions, such as cochlear implants and bone-anchored hearing devices. And those included usability, non-invasiveness, and aesthetics. However, from the literature, we also noted some limitations of cross and bicross systems that have implications for hearing aid counseling. Specifically, there's the potential for reduced speech understanding in noise when the noise is present on the unaidable side, which is a situation you can imagine a client might encounter in the car, for example. Also, cross and bicross systems generally provide no improvement in localizing sounds, which, as we talked about before, can be a significant challenge for individuals with unaidable hearing loss in one ear. So those are some things that would be important for setting expectations for a client who's being fit with a cross system.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for summarizing that so beautifully. These results are really encouraging. It's also good to remember the situations where cross won't help, so we can counsel clients appropriately. Based on these findings, what considerations would you make when fitting cross in the clinic? Do you have any advice for those out there excited to fit cross for their clients?
I mentioned that one of our objectives in this literature search focused on clinical implications regarding cross and bicross systems. We did identify several from the literature, one of which I've already mentioned, which is the importance of counseling regarding device limitations, so localization, noise on the unaidable cross side. And if hearing and noise generally is still a particular difficulty for the cross user, a remote microphone system might still be needed to support listening in more complex environments. And use of a needs assessment would help identify across clients' specific listening challenges. Additionally, if the hearing status of the better hearing ear allows, occluding that ear should be avoided so that ear canal acoustics and therefore the naturalness of the signal can be preserved as much as possible. Lastly, real ear measurements should be completed to verify the fitting. And Phonak does have a new verification guide available for Cross.
Thank you for summarizing those really helpful clinical tips. Now, let's move to the latest Cross technology. Cross P is the latest Cross from Phonak, offering a Paradise solution for unilateral hearing loss with Paradise performance, rechargeability, and universal connectivity. Elizabeth, is there any research planned with this latest technology?
In short, yes. In our literature search, we didn't find an overwhelming amount of evidence regarding Cross and Bicross in general. So there seems to be a need and an appetite for more. Additionally, our search included studies published between 2010 and 2020, and we're now in the third quarter of 2021, and there's new technology on the market. So we are pursuing some opportunities to add to the body of evidence. In terms of scientific needs, we would like to focus on some of the research gaps we identified in the review, such as assessing cross-by-cross benefit in more realistic listening environments, examining outcome measures beyond speech intelligibility, so perhaps something like listening effort, and exploring subjective benefit a bit more.
So the key learnings from our discussion is UHL is much more common than we first thought. And UHL is not half the problem of a bilateral hearing loss. The challenges of UHL are far-reaching and include not only reduced awareness of sounds and difficulties hearing in noise, but also reduced well-being, reduced quality of life, and increased loneliness. The literature review highlighted that cross and bicross solutions can help overcome some of these challenges. And finally, cross and bicross is understudied with gaps in the research. Some research collaborations are being explored currently to examine listening effort, subjective outcomes, and speech intelligibility in realistic environments with our latest cross technologies. Elizabeth, do you have a closing message for our listeners?
I think my biggest learning from this literature search was, again, the surprising to me prevalence of UHL. And I think the take-home message, again, at least for me, is that cross-bicross remain a reliable solution for those individuals. And for some, it may be the only UHL solution that is available. You know, we always want to make the technology better, and this is kind of how we start doing that. You know, we'll do better by knowing better. We still need to know more, and I look forward to learning more.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for joining us today, and especially for your work in the systematic literature review and upcoming cross studies.
Thank you, Jane.
To learn more, read the cross-bicross literature review published in the Hearing Review, and learn more about CrossP and download the verification guide on phonakpro.com.
Audiologist, a Phonak podcast.